Okay, well, we're going to teach this morning about Resurrection Sunday in conjunction with what we've been teaching, and we're going to continue to teach, and that is we're going to talk about the epistle-like truth. Today's sermon title called The Foolishness of the Cross. Foolishness of the Cross, and we've got a verse we're going to give you that's going to or show you some things that'll bring more illumination to you on that, but it's called The Foolishness of the Cross. But we're also going to continue to remind you that we're doing a study called or titled Have You Been Epistle-Lighted? And I know that my dear friend Chris Saylor can tell me without him being embarrassed what books make up the epistles. What books make up the epistles, Chris? Amen. You want to get on the microphone? We'll get on this. What book? What are they, buddy? What are they?
Romans through Jude.
Romans through Jude. That's one thing he'll never forget because I embarrassed the daylights out of him. Right in my own, huh?
Romans chapter 3.
Huh? Yeah, mandatory. There's some mandatory verses in there. Well, just won't you just take hold? But the epistles are the books. In fact, we have new folks here, and I'm not going to take anything for granted. And one of the reasons, I'll tell you what motivates us. Some of y'all are visiting with us this morning. It's Easter Sunday, and some of y'all are here in the building for the first time or you haven't been here at all. And you may be looking around, and you may be thinking, boy, where are all the folks? Well, first of all, they've moved us all the way to 8:30 in the morning. That's all we had left was 8:30 in the morning. But you need to understand what motivates us. What motivates us is that we believe there are groups of people out there that have never heard the information in this book. We know there are a lot of people that go to church, not as many as should, because if you go to Fry's right now, I guarantee it's packed. You can go to Fry's anytime, can't we, Donnie? And it's always packed. Anyway, what motivates us is knowing that we have an opportunity through Facebook and the internet, and I'm going to do some advertising here, to get this message out, because I'm telling you, I have a lot of flaws. I'm not your prototypical minister, but one thing that I am sincere about is I believe that every person should have the opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what we're celebrating today is the greatest story ever told. And if you were on Facebook, which I'm going to give you an opportunity to know about this, you would know that every morning I go on Facebook and I take you through the journey in the epistles. And this morning we got up to Galatians chapter 4, but I also told everybody that it would be a great opportunity to read in your Bible John chapter 18, 19, and 20. I like John's account better than anybody. Because it's so, man, Pontius Pilate was a tortured man. He was a tortured man because he pronounced judgment on the creator of the universe. Tough to deal with. But anyway, I just recommend that everybody reads it. But if you have your Bible this morning and you don't know what the epistles are, they're the books that start in the book of Romans. And Linda's here with me. She's one of my newer Bible students that I love dearly. Amen. I'm not going to call on you on the radio. Linda and Randy have been clients and friends of mine for many, many years, and I had the opportunity. It's Easter, and we can kind of go, you know, shoot from the hip, can't we, Jerry? What would be any different from any Sunday? I mean, I was up most of the night preparing my lesson sheet. What do you think about that, Chris? No, I was watching the Cincinnati Reds get beat again by the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, anyway, listen to me now. The epistles are the book of Romans, and it ends at the epistle of, I'm going to do it for you, Jude. Right here, look here, everybody. Look at this. If you're listening by radio, you're listening by internet, that's probably what? 10% of the Bible, maybe not even 10%, 5% of the Bible. And I'm telling you, the things in these epistles will change your life. But you got to put them in your heart. They won't do you any good on your coffee table. My family had a big old Bible on the coffee table my whole life growing up. And if it fell off and hit you on the toe, it broke your foot. But we didn't know nothing that was in it because we were told it was a holy book. Let me tell you another reason why you can trust me. You know all the stuff that I put on Facebook and on the internet, I don't ever try to promote me. And I don't ever try to promote life in Christ Church. You know, I don't ever try to get you to think that if you're not coming to hear me or hear or fellowshipping at Life in Christ, you don't have the truth. All I ever try to do is promote this book. Because this book is truth. And it's hard to find truth in this lying, stinking world. It's hardly anywhere. Can I get an amen? But these epistles, Romans through Jude, have to be read and understood in order to know what went on in John chapter 18, 19, and 20. If all you had was John chapter 18, 19, and 20, you would think, man, that's an amazing thing that happened to Jesus, the suffering, the death, the resurrection. But you wouldn't know what it all meant unless you read the epistles, because the epistles are our contract if you're in Christ. It's the new covenant. And that's why the church is so ignorant. Because the church, first of all, we're scripturally illiterate. Because I know that the Bible can be a challenge to read. I understand that. And I also understand that if you've been hooked up with the old King James Version of the Bible, you don't really want to read it because you don't speak that way, you don't talk that way, and you don't live that way. So you need to get a translation that's something you can understand. I promote the New King James Version of the Bible because it tries to translate the way the old King James Version did, because I think the old King James, I'm going maybe too deep with this, but I want to educate some folks. I don't want you just to leave here and say, man, he was funny, or man, he was stupid, or man, I don't want to hear him again. I want you to leave here and get interested in getting in this book. I've been doing Christianity since 1978, minus 5 years. I had a 5-year period where you wouldn't have liked me. And I'm telling you, the people that connect and stay committed to the Lord Jesus Christ are the people that stay committed and connected to this book. If you're expecting to stay a Christian because of people or because of how you perform, you will give it up, because Christianity is impossible. You're asking me to love those people in Washington, D.C. and act like I do? I'm grateful for the grace of God that has brought salvation, teaching us to renounce ungodliness, amen, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know who the grace of God is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. So what we want you to do is we want you to learn this. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen, or that your grandmama told you, amen, or that your minister may have told you, or that your Sunday school teacher may have told you, or if nobody's ever told you, that's my favorite kind. I love to get to people that nobody's ever told them anything. I want the Bryant Bookers of the world. I want the James Taylors of the world. I want people that haven't been brainwashed by religion, because religion died 2,000 years ago. Did y'all see that on Facebook? I wrote that on Facebook by the Spirit of God and got like 8 likes. The whole Christian world ought to like what I wrote. But the whole Christian church is eat up with jealousy and envy. And some people can't like what I write, because if they like what they write, they think they're going to be promoting me. God have mercy on your ignorance. Religion died 2,000 years ago. It was nailed to a cross, because he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Really what it is, the veil of the temple, the Holy Spirit was locked away. Nobody had access to God because none of us were worthy of God, because all of us are failures without God. And I'll tell you something else that's shocking, and this will help some people. It'll make some people mad. We're failures as Christians. But Jesus isn't. He isn't. He isn't. And he ever lives. And he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for our failures. That's why whoever comes to him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. And he's able to save to the uttermost those who call on his name, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. See, we made it about observances and rituals and events and ceremonies and sacraments instead of making it about what it really is. Religion died. God hates religion. You know who loves religion? The devil. He loves religion because he knows that religion won't save you. He knows that religion will veil your eyes to the truth of who God really is. Human effort will never get you to heaven. Human effort will never get you to heaven. It's only the grace of God that gains us access to heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "Hey, you know all this. What makes you such a big shot?" I read the epistles. And thank you for thinking I'm a big shot. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. So we've been going through them, and we've read a lot of verses out of Romans. So today I'm going to introduce the Easter message through the book of 1 Corinthians and start you out with this verse. Remember, the message is called "The Foolishness of the Cross." Say that with me. The foolishness of the cross. It'll be explained to you here. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So think about it for a minute. Think about how many people aren't worshiping God this morning. Think about how many people have no interest in God this morning. They've gone their own way. Think about it. What we're talking about this morning is foolish. What do you mean? A man died 2,000 years ago. Whoop-de-doop. Oh, you need to know who died. You need to know why he died. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, if you're a genuine, sincere Christian, you need to grow up and understand that the world will never like you and they'll never understand you. They'll never get you. I mean, what is all that stuff about Jesus? Jesus this and Jesus that. The only time they ever say Jesus is if they're cussing. What in the world's that got to do with me? How's that going to pay my light bill? How's that going to cost me to be able to put gas in my car? Why in the world was I dumb enough to vote for Joe Biden? Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. See, it makes no sense to the natural brain, the natural mind. It doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me. I went to a church where they showed him hung on a cross during the entire ceremony and religious ritual that they went through. And I'd look at it and think, well, what's that got to do with me? But then when I found out who he was and what he was and why he was, it changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. It'll change anybody's life. But you got to genuinely come to Jesus. Don't come to religion. Don't just shake a preacher's hand and think that gets the job done. Come with your heart and acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ and see him for who he is and then ask him to show you who you are. And then it'll cause you to fall on your knees and say what Billy Graham always sung at every one of his crusades, just as I am, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. It's foolishness. What's the next verse, Jordan? What's the next verse? For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. Keep going. But we preach Christ crucified. Listen to this. And by the way, I apologize. See, every translation has some flaws in it. God's word is flawless, but every translation has some flaws in it. They keep using the word Greek here. How many of you know that anybody, well, you may not know it, I'm going to tell it to you. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, not just a Greek. The whole world's not made up of Greeks, right? The whole world's not made up of Greeks. Frank, you're not a Greek, are you? You're a Bostonian, aren't you? Right? Praise the Lord. So they use the word Greek here, and so if you're new to the Bible, you're going to think, well, I'm not a Greek. Yeah, you're a Gentile, which is also what a Greek is. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. Well, of course, if you know anything about Bible history or Christian history, you'll understand why Jesus would be a stumbling block to the Jews, because he came through the seed of Abraham. He was a Jewish man. He told the woman at the well of Samaria, salvation is of the Jews. He was the seed of Abraham. And of course, he comes, he fulfills over 7,000 prophecies in the Old Testament. But you see, you got to know something. And I know all this from the New Covenant. I know all this from the epistles. The Bible says that until you receive Christ, the veil stays on your heart in the reading of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant's not going to make any sense to you until you know Jesus. Because when you find out who Jesus is, you find out that the Old Covenant was written for him. He's the only one that can cross every T and dot every I. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. His body on the tree, on the cross, was a sinless body. It had no sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was the only guiltless man who ever lived. And the devil killed him for being guiltless. Somebody said, well, why did God allow it? God allowed the devil to kill him because God knew that by the character of Satan, his only opportunity, the first chance he got to remove the protection of divine grace on his life, the devil does what he can only do, steal, kill, and destroy. Don't shout me down now, just because I'm preaching real good. So of course he's a stumbling block to the Jews. They're embarrassed. They don't want to acknowledge that they killed the Lord. They don't want to acknowledge that they're the ones that condemned him to die. They don't want to be the ones that acknowledge that say in the book of Matthew, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Oh, have there ever been worse words ever uttered? Don't you wish they could take that back? So of course he's a stumbling block. But even God in his great goodness and mercy hadn't give up on him. He already tells you in the epistles, in the book of Romans, he's going to graft them back in. There's going to be in the last days a great awakening. And the Jewish people are going to know that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the great I am. He told them he was the great I am when they came to arrest him. They said, who are you seeking? Listen to me now, listen. They said, who are you seeking? Judas came with them. Oh, he was full of himself now, see. He was jealous of the power and the authority and the recognition that Jesus got, and he was a thief. And so he betrayed him. And for about 2 days, he was a big shot, maybe just a day. And they gave him a detachment of troops, and he comes, you know, now he's in charge. Judas is leading the charge. And he goes up and he kisses Jesus. And he says, "Are you going to betray me with a kiss?" And he called him friend. You know what I'd have called him? Not friend. He called him friend. He said, "Friend, why have you come?" And then he kisses him. And then Jesus goes in front of the multitude, in front of the people that are to arrest him. And he says, "Whom are you seeking?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am." Not "I am he." See, the translators put "he" in there because they're not as smart as I am. It's sad, Jerry. Huh? It's sad. There's a lot of people who don't think I'm that smart. But I think they're stupid. Don't shout me down. Now, happy Easter. They said, "Who are you seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am." And you know when he said, "I am," you know they all fell back on the ground. The anointing and the presence of God was so strong. You know, see, the natural man, he's so hopelessly, helplessly lost. There's no way for us except Jesus. They fall down on the ground. Under the presence of God, he says, "I am." They get back up. And they arrest a man who's never sinned. The devil's stupid. Oh, I got to make sure I get this in. The Lord made sure, let me tell you this, the devil's stupid. He didn't know that he just arrested a man that was guiltless, that had no sin. He didn't know that he was going to hang on a tree, an innocent man. The only innocent man who ever walked the earth. Some of y'all are listening by radio, internet, and you think you're innocent. You are badly deceived. So he thinks, "Well, I'm just going to do like I do everybody. I'm going to kill him. And when I kill him, he's got to go to hell and stay there." Only problem is he killed an innocent man. And the other thing he killed was a man who had divine, sinless blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every time they did all that terrible stuff to him, he bled. When they pushed that crown of thorns into his skull, he bled. When they took him and strapped him to that whipping post and they beat him with steel-tipped whip at least 39 times, and every time that flesh broke and blood spilled, the blood of divinity spilled so that we could be saved and healed and delivered. Oh, that's, see, that's its foolishness to a gent. He don't know that. He don't understand that. All he wants to know is, how in the world am I going to pay my taxes tomorrow? And what they don't know, and what ministers have never understood, is that if you gain access to this and you get this in your heart, there's nothing in life you can't overcome. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean there won't be things to overcome, because Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." You'll have it. You'll have it. Somebody in China is going to stir up some kind of thing over there, and it's going to cause a pandemic that really turned out to be nothing but a high-grade flu. But he said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Oh, man, 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 man. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Can I get an amen for those of us who have received him? Is he the power of God? Is he the wisdom of God? Has he give you eternal life? Has he give you peace? Has he give you joy? So, I'm going to take you over, and I'm going to read a little bit about what went on. And then I'm going to take you back to the epistle of 1 Corinthians and explain to you what went on. I want you to hear what went on, but I want you to know where it's explained what went on. So I pick it up in John chapter 19, verse 1. And again, if you're listening by radio or internet, if you follow me on Facebook, if you follow Life in Christ Church homepage, we've recommended that you take the time to read John 18, 19, and 20. Take the time. Dust off your Bible. Somebody said, I don't have a Bible. There's Bible apps now. One of the ministries we support is YouVersion. You can go online and download it on your phone, and you can find it for yourself. Get the New King James Version. Read John 18, 19, and 20. I'm going to hit the high spots for you today because I've been given an opportunity to share this message, and there's people listening to me that's never heard it before. Amen. Never heard it before. And there's some people that have gone to church their whole life, and they've never heard it before. They thought they were going to church to smell incense. That would do it. I always kind of liked that, though. It was kind of smelled good. Didn't do anything to keep me from doing things bad after church was over, though. Donnie, can I get an amen? So then Pilate, it says in verse 19, in chapter 19, verse 1, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate was a corrupt politician. Pilate was like most politicians today. Sad. It's sad. It's a sad reality, but it's true. He knew the man that was standing in front of him was not guilty of what they were accusing him of. He knew that he had done nothing deserving of death. Not only did he know it, and listen, let me tell you something else, and I don't have time to share everything with you, but let me tell you that even through the passion of the Christ, even through that, God still gave people an opportunity to do the right thing. Not only did Pilate know he was innocent, but his wife had already come to him and said, don't do anything to that dude. I had a dream about him. Now, you know, normally when your wife tells you something, you listen. Am I right? And maybe if your wife has been telling you stuff and you haven't been listening, maybe that's your problem. I learned a long time ago. The best thing for me to do when Teresa says something is say, you know, I believe that's correct. She says, don't have anything to do with that guy. I had a bad dream about him. But he also knows that the people, the hierarchy, the religious Pharisees, they want something done to him, and he doesn't have the courage or the kahunas to do the right thing. See, there's people in Washington, D.C. that know that there really isn't any reason for us to be short of gasoline. We got all the gasoline. The United States of America has all the gasoline it would ever need, but politicians are keeping us from getting it because they're scared they're going to offend their contention, whatever that word is. Say it with me. Thank you. They don't have any courage. Not only that, they're corrupt and evil because all they really want is the money. See, let me tell you something about the Bible. It tells you the way things really are. Just about anything that's going on that's bad, it can always be traced back to money. Just about anything. It's always traced back to money. So, just to show you what a... I'm trying to use nice words, Randy, but I don't know that many nice words. But just to show you... how terrible he is, he thinks, well, I'll just scourge him. And if I scourge him, that'll make them think, well, you know, you did. And when I say scourge, they scourged. Anybody ever saw the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson? It's worth watching at least one time. And even that's not brutal enough. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52 that the Lord Jesus Christ was marred worse than any human being has ever been marred. An innocent man, the creator of the universe. Oh, man. So Pilate says, I'll scourge him and that'll do it. You know, they'll have some compassion for him. They weren't going to have any compassion for him. They were demon-possessed and the devil couldn't stand him. And the devil can't stand us. You know why he can't stand us? You know why the devil don't like us? Because we're made in the image of God. The book of James, the epistle of James, epistle-like truth. The reason why he can't stand us is we're made in the likeness of God. God did for us what he didn't do for him. He made him to worship and serve God. He made us, and God was willing to partner with us. He came down in the garden in the I've told you some of the worst verses in the Bible. There can't be any more cooler verse or a better verse than the fact that it says he would come down in the garden in the cool of the day. That's how cool God, I mean, you know, hey, I'll be down there about 4:30, 5 o'clock. It's a little bit, you know, I want it to be perfect for us when we talk, when we fellowship. Oh, it made the devil mad, made him jealous, made him envious. He wanted that, and God gave it to Adam. So he took Jesus and scourged him. Keep going. I got to go. Go. Keep going. Then Jesus, and I skipped some verses, but I'm just trying to get you the picture. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns. Now remember, they've crushed the crown of thorns into his skull. But you know what? Let me say this to everybody too. This is a fascinating thing. We celebrated Good Friday on Friday. Did you know that Isaiah chapter 53 says that it actually pleased the Lord for these things to happen? Somebody said, well, what is God, a sadist? No, every single time blood was spilled, he was paying for the sins of the whole world with that blood. And he comes out and he's wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. They put a purple robe on him. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. That'll do it. They'll see that I've appeased them. That'll do it. I can let this guy go. I'm wondering what he thought. Would he get healed of all those stripes? Wonder what he thought. Where's he going to go for care? Next verse. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, compassion filled their heart, and they changed their mind. No, listen to me. You may not know there's a devil. You may have never been taught about the devil. But he's a bad, bad guy. He's a bad person. He's a liar, he's a thief, and he's a murderer. Are you listening to me? There's no reason to stay committed or connected to him, because in the end, he'll cut you loose. He may use you for a little while, but in the end, he's going to cut you loose. Because he's all wrapped up in himself. The book of Isaiah says the sin that he committed was the sin of pride. He said, I will ascend to the throne of the Most High God. I'll be like God. He caught himself in the mirror and he saw how pretty he was. First Corinthians tells you that he's an angel of light, that when you see him, you'd be amazed. He's an angel of light, but he's evil. There's no good in him. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of it. And the people that had Jesus arrested were controlled and possessed by him. So therefore, when the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Oh man, Pilate's like, man, I wanted to watch the Broncos. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him. He wants off the hook so bad. But he's a gutless politician. He's concerned more about what people think about him than doing the right thing. Oh, the United States of America, we need to raise up. Are there people out there that care more about their country than they do themselves? Do we have anybody like that? Do we? Do we have anybody that cares about the quality of the entire group of people rather than making sure that you keep your side appeased? Pilate said to him, you take him, let me off the hook. And I don't think I had enough time to put some things up there. Not only this, he goes back and he asks Jesus to take him off the hook. You take him and crucify him. Listen to this, for I find no fault in him. Keep going, George. The Jews answered him, we have a law. Oh, that rotten, stinking, filthy, murdering law. The thing that's hung all of us. The law of sin and death. We have a law. That's why the worst thing the church ever did was get a group of people in their congregation and then teach them and preach to them the law. Because sooner or later, what you preach and teach against, you'll end up doing. Can I get an amen? The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Well, he didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Mark's the only one that clearly identifies it. Mark's Gospel, 1461, I believe, 1461. Caiaphas asked him, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the living God? And he said, I am. I am. Oh, man. Next verse, George. But they cried out. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? Pilate had gone back into the room and talked to Jesus. He's in panic mode, man. He don't know what to do. And he'd gone back into the room to talk to Jesus. And he said, and I don't know, for whatever reason, this verse is always in my heart. And Pilate asked him, are you a king then? I don't know why that gets me so much, but to know that he asked that question of his creator, to know that he's standing in front of his creator who has a crown of thorns crushed down into his skull, that blood is pouring out of every part of his body, and to know that Pilate asked him the question, are you a king? And he'd already told him in Matthew's gospel, put your sword up, because if I wanted to, I could call down 12 legions of angels. Are you kidding me? Are you a king? You know what I'd have said? Yes, I'm a king. Oh, he said, for this reason, I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Oh, the world so desperately needs truth. We need truth so desperately. I'm telling you, friends, everybody lies. There's no truth to be found. And Jesus never lies. Are you a king then? You know what Jesus told him? He said, you rightly say that I am a king. You rightly say it. See, listen, somebody said, man, I want to know that like you know it. Well, get born again and then get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost get into your heart. Get in there and let the Holy Spirit fill you with this truth and this knowledge. I don't know this stuff on my own. I'm not smart enough. I'm too fickle and phony myself. Amen. But on the inside of me is the living God. On the inside of me is Jesus. On the inside of me, I'm a new creature. On the inside of me, I know all this stuff. And you know all the rest of you that have Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the same thing. But we got disillusioned by religion. Religion's what disillusioned us. That's the only reason why I'm not in it 24/7, 7 days a week. Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Boy, that's almost as bad as saying his blood be upon us and upon our children. They're pledging allegiance to Caesar, who didn't do anything to them except abuse them and control them and harm them. You know, I hate to throw this in here, but I swear by the Spirit of God, I believe I have to. That'll explain why in the world we got what we got in Washington, D.C. That's the only explanation I can give. Because you got a man that's asleep, not even awake, doesn't even know what's going on, being led by somebody. Francis, can you and Leslie count the money real quick? Sorry about that. I hate to stop in the middle of this for filthy mammon. not that money. That's free will offering money. That's blessed money. Amen. And that money, unless it's going to pay a bill, is going to be given to somebody. What about that? Next time you hear somebody badmouth this ministry, tell them that. Tell them that. I thought of a verse. All right, here we go. Where are we at? Keep going, Jordan. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew, Golgotha. Keep going. I don't like to read a lot of verses because I lose you, but I think with this story, it'll keep you interested, right? Because this is the greatest story ever told. Amen. Where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, Jesus in the center. Keep going. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Everybody say it. It is. Come on now. Everybody say it. Come on. Ready? It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now those three words, it is finished, have been mistaught because people haven't read the epistles. What was finished was the reason why none of us could go to heaven. See, what was finished was the reason why nobody had access to God, because what got completed and finished was the law. Somebody actually paid for all the transgressions that are ever made by the law or through the law, past, present, or future, because an innocent divine man shed his blood for the forgiveness and the remission of the sins of the whole world. Ooh, 1 Corinthians tells you that if the devil knew what he was doing, he was too stupid, because he's stupid. First stupid thing he did was try to overthrow God. That's the first stupid thing, but he was too stupid. The Bible says if he'd have known what was really going on, he'd have never done it. Too late now. Too late now. It is finished. But salvation's not complete because something else has to happen. He had to die, but then he had to be raised from the dead. He had to conquer death. He had to walk out of that tomb and conquer death. And so I think we go back to 1 Corinthians, don't we, Jordan, I think? And so we're going to fill in the dot or fill in the blanks with what we're told in 1 Corinthians. And it's so wonderful and it's so simple, and yet it's the most profound thing anybody will ever tell you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Verse 2. by which also you are saved, by which also you are saved, saved by the gospel, saved by the gospel, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that you've got to keep all the Ten Commandments. Huh? For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that you got to go to church every single Sunday and pay 10% of your income in tithes and offerings. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. That's so important. That means there's no superstars in the body of Christ, because everybody comes the same way. Only one superstar, Jesus Christ. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Remember, he said you're saved by the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it? Well, you got to climb up a flight of steps on your hands and knees, or run through a thing of burning coal and run through it real quick. Is that it? No, it's this. Here it is. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. See, that's why the Jews aren't innocent. You're not innocent. It's in the book. Isaiah 53 is in your book. It's in your book. You can read it every day. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You read Isaiah 53 and you tell me that's not talking about Jesus, and there's something major wrong with your brain. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, verse 4, and that he was buried. Here we go. Now you can receive all you need to become a child of God. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Psalm 16 said, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You're not going to leave me in Hades. That's what it said in Psalm 16. Read those things, but when you read them, understand it's not talking about you. He had to tell them, Paul had to tell them, David wrote Psalm 16, but David wasn't talking about himself. David is dead. His bones are ashes. He was talking about Jesus. The old covenant's about Jesus. The only way the old covenant makes any sense is when you see Jesus in every verse. The only way it makes any sense. The only person he wouldn't leave their soul in Hades was Jesus. The reason why he wouldn't allow his Holy One to see corruption is because he was not guilty. And so God could justifiably raise him from the dead because he had committed no sin. Everybody else that went down there belonged there. If you're listening by radio or internet, did you hear what I said? We all deserve it. We all deserve hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now watch this. This is important. This is important. Verse 5. And that he was seen by Peter. So he had to be seen. Somebody had to testify to it. Cephas, there's Peter. And then by the 12. Peter evidently saw him by himself, and then he appears in the Gospels. He appears to all 12 of them. See that? That's why there's some useful information in the epistles that you don't get completely in the Gospels. Verse 6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. This was written, 1 Corinthians was written 15 years after the event, so most of these people were still kicking. You listening to me? After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. I love this. But some have fallen asleep. The Bible don't even like to use the word death, because death's an enemy. God didn't make us to die. He made us to live. The only reason why we die is because the mortal body has to pay the price for the law of sin and death. But your spirit is alive forevermore. If you've received Jesus, you will never die. Amen. See, that's what he told Martha. Was it Martha? Mary. Martha. Which one of them always, one of them went out there to greet him? I believe it was Martha. She was always the busybody. She was. And he said, hey, she said, if you had got here sooner, this old boy wouldn't have died. Lazarus wouldn't have died. He said, hey, wait a minute now. First of all, I'll tell you one thing she did say that I love, though. She said, but even now, it's not too late because you're here. Oh, I need to say that to people that are listening by radio and internet. Even now, it's not too late. As long as you got breath in your body, it's not too late. As long as you can lift a finger to the sky and you can move a muscle, it's not too late. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me, though he dies, he'll live. That's talking about physical death. If you die physically, you'll still live. And then if you live now and you receive me, you'll never die spiritually. Stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say one mean thing. Now, maybe this will be about the third mean thing I've said. You know, if you're called to do this and you think you run out of things to say, you're in the wrong business. You can't ever run out of talking about Jesus. So listen to me. In the church here and then by radio or internet, bow your head for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've listened to this morning and you really know in your heart that you can't say that you've actually acknowledged Jesus, that you've actually acknowledged this story. See, really, all God asks you to do, listen, I mean, at my level of education, I figured this out. All God really is asking us to do is to acknowledge the story. That he died, he suffered, he died, and he rose again. And if you've all God's asking you to do, I just read it to you, 1 Corinthians 15. All he's asking you to do is acknowledge it. That's it. Thank God. Praise God. If you've never really acknowledged the events that you heard about today and you simply want to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, raise your hand. I'll pray with you. Is that anybody this morning here at church? Is that anybody? Is that anybody that wants to do that this morning? Here with me? Don't be afraid. We're not going to lock the doors. Is there anybody who wants to do that this morning? Here in the church building. If you're listening by radio or internet, then I want you to do it with me today on this great Easter Sunday morning. Do it with me. Just do this. It's real simple. It really is. But it has to be done from the heart and not the head. Just simply say this. Say, dear God, I've heard the gospel story, and I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. I acknowledge right now, this moment, Jesus, you are Lord. Oh, I'm letting that soak in a little bit. I promise you on the authority of God's word, I promise you as a living witness, I promise you that there's several witnesses here with me. I promise you that if you prayed that prayer in a minute, you just became a new creature. You just became a child of God. The veil of your heart was torn in two and the Holy Spirit's come to live with you. Get your hands on a Bible. Start listening to Bible believing stuff like I'm teaching, and fill your heart and mind with it and get set free from religion. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray for everybody today. I pray for folk inside the building here that's heard this message. I pray that it'll burn into their heart in a more supernatural way, and it'll cause change. It'll cause them to actually be productive in their Christianity, and people will know they're Christians. And then I'm praying for people that are listening by radio or internet, and I'm thanking you, Holy Spirit, that you're there with that person and showing them that they are now in fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for coming and